And we will recommence the meeting. I'll just get the General Manager to confirm that that has restarted the recording.
Confirm that.
Thank you very much. We are now at page 69 in relation to the Kingston Beach War Memorial with a recommendation on page 71, and I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved Councillor Antolli and a seconder. Seconded by Councillor Bain. Councillor Antolli.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to thank Daniel Smee for the report. I'm grateful for the succinct way that he got to the point. It's a wonderful community that we are honouring, our returned service soldiers, but those not only those who fell in war, but those who served in war. I was lobbied over the weekend by a few members of the RSL as to which particular option they wanted me to go for, and I just simply had to say, look, the majority has spoken, so I will just go with the majority. But I do recommend this to us all. I think it's a time that we actually refresh the war memorial site there at Kingston Beach. I do believe it's the best site. I understand that there's opinions either way as to where the site should be, but I do believe it's the most evocative site for those who have been to the Anzac Day ceremony, the dawn service. It is the most amazing location to actually hear about them landing on the beaches of Gallipoli during the moments of silence, and all you can hear is those gentle, beautiful Kingston Beach waves lapping on our beach. You feel like you're having an out-of-body experience and going back to another time. It's wonderfully evocative. It's one of the few, shall we say, ceremonies or events that we force our children to go to get up early every morning, whether they like it or not. They have to go. If mum and dad have to go, they go, and they just love it. And in the end, they love it. They may not like getting up so early, but they do love the event, and we want them to grow up to respect people who have served our nation in such a way. I'm particularly grateful for Mr. Smee's point in 4.5, which is in relation to the above, which is a range of different things that should be commemorated. We will leave it up to the RSL to do that. Thank you, Mr. Smee. It is in honour of them, and it is their, I believe, decision to actually write down or to work at how they should commemorate it. And with the 50th anniversary just around the corner, it's just the right time to do it. So I recommend it to us all to adopt, and on both of the recommendations, and to support a capital allocation of funds to have it set up in time over the next financial year. Thank you.
Turn myself off while I just ate my biscuit. Didn't want to hear you have to put you through my chewing. Thank you, Councillor Antolli. Next, I've got Councillor Gladright.
Thank you. I just want to acknowledge that I did have quite a few community members who were concerned about the way the consultation was conducted in relation to this memorial. I have since asked questions about our consultation process, and I feel comfortable now that the consultation wasn't done according to our communication framework, because it was in fact, we were just facilitating the survey on behalf of the RSL. But I was wondering if Mr. Smee could just go through that again for the record to clarify that situation, please.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, so when the RSL first approached us in relation to this project, they asked the question, what are the parameters around obtaining council support for this project? And we met on site with our urban design officer. They presented very conceptually what they were proposing, and we conveyed from an officer perspective that our biggest concern related to the extent to which the memorial would impact on the visual amenity of the foreshore, and certainly that was our primary concern from our urban design officer. But we also conveyed to the RSL that, you know, ultimately this was a decision for the community to make, and if the community were supportive of an upgraded memorial on this site, bearing in mind that there is an existing Gallipoli marker there, then, you know, ultimately the community would be the ones that indicate support or otherwise. So the RSL did take on board that feedback, and their revised designs do reflect an endeavour to address the issue of the visual impact. In saying that, though, the RSL did make the point that, you know, they are actually looking for something that is reasonably significant and striking, so there needs to be a balance between what the RSL are endeavouring to achieve through a memorial, balanced against not wanting to dominate the visual landscape of the foreshore. So the RSL asked us, you know, what should be the process of determining community feedback. They offered to conduct a survey themselves. We had some concerns with that in relation to the results being seen as biased when the proponent is conducting the survey themselves. So we offered to conduct the survey on their behalf, bearing in mind that, as Councillor Gladewright has said, it is indeed their project. It's Crown land, it's not Council land. We do have a licence over it. So that's the process in which we've been through, and the survey was facilitated by Council for those reasons.
Councillor Gladewright.
Thank you. Yeah, just to add on to that, if indeed it had been our project and we were conducting the consultation process, I feel that a sign in situ with a QR code that could capture the people walking by would have also been appropriate to ensure that a whole range of stakeholders were aware of the survey. But like Mr. Smee has said, this wasn't our project, and that's why the consultation was done in this manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gladewright. Next I've got Councillor Bain and then Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a question. Do we know the approximate size of the current Gallipoli marker compared to the two options?
Mr. Smee, do we...
It's about...
that. For the information on the tape, I just mimed the size of it. Mr. Smee.
Look, approximately it's a metre by a metre.
I reckon it might be a little bit smaller than that, but I think it's smaller.
And just a second question. The RSL mentioned the anniversary next year. Do you know any firm date that they'd like to see this completed by?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, given that the RSL have requested a council capital contribution towards the installation, the earliest we could action this is obviously July. So given that time frame, Remembrance Day next year is the target date.
They did indicate in the meetings that that I attended with them that they would have liked to have had it ready for Anzac Day, but unfortunately the timeframes just didn't work out, and then of course we had the elections as well, so I believe they're happy with aiming towards Remembrance Day.
Thank you.
Any further speakers? I had Councillor Cordova next, then Councillor Midgley, and then Councillor Fox.
Thanks, Mayor. I'm just going to ask some questions and then move straight to an amendment, and hopefully we can hash it out, so that's, and then I'd like to make a contribution if I might. First question is about the issues that were raised in these submissions, and I'm looking at 4.4 now, and there's a list there. What actually happened with that feedback, and to what extent was that incorporated, and to what extent can that be incorporated, given that this is an RSL kind of led project?
Yeah. So all of that has been, or will be, now that once this is endorsed, will be provided to the RSL sub-branch for them to include. I think I've received two emails from community members who expressed some concerns about the location of the project and the size of it. And I've encouraged those people to also contact the RSL to convey those. Because, as Mr. Smee has just indicated, this is their project. We were merely the facilitator of the process, and I think that the fact that 77% of people support one of those options is quite a sound endorsement of the proposal that the club has put forward. Obviously, it's in their hands now to determine what the one is that they would then like to submit plans for.
Thank you. My second question before I move my amendment is that, so I'm looking at 5.2, the estimated cost around $7,500. Is it possible that we could kind of lock that in as a council contribution, but then still have the capacity to extend the consultation in such a way that everybody feels like they've had their voice heard? So my question is it possible to just lock in the council's support, you know, with that $7,500, but then also open this up for more consultation? That's my question.
Well, it's really up to the councillors to determine if anybody wants to support an amendment to go back to further consultation. But I feel like that this has been quite a thorough response to the survey that was put out. For a project that isn't ours, and it needs to be indicated that as part of the discussions with the Kingston Beach sub-branch that other locations were looked at discounted by them or by council for various reasons. There was, for example, a proposal to perhaps have the memorial located adjacent to the Dog Beach at Browns River, but that wasn't. There's not enough space there in order to set up how they normally would for particularly the dawn service. And then you also would have the very real problem of people also wanting to walk their dogs at the same time and dogs barking during a solemn service. There was also a suggestion by somebody that it be held at Kingston Park, but that the sub-branch were not keen on that idea because they feel that there is an affinity, and as Councillor Antoli said very well, there is something very moving about having the water lapping at the beach when you're having those moments of silence for the dawn service. And I believe it is an appropriate place for this. I would like to add that the club did initially have far more significant plans for what they would like as a memorial at Kingston Beach, and I think that probably would have been more problematic in a range of ways. Firstly, in terms of the amount of space that it would have taken up, I think the initial discussion was they wanted sort of a wall that people would walk alongside and it would have etches in it, and it sounded aesthetically lovely, but it would have taken up a lot more room on that grassed area. And I think they came to realise that our funding commitment was limited and their ability to get grants for construction of something quite major like that was going to be quite challenging. So this seems to be the happy medium that people are endorsing for the sandstone design as being contemporary but also appropriately reflective for what they wish to honour.
Thank you. That's helpful. And final question before I move my amendment. Bit of a Dorothy Dixer. What's the proposed life of this project? Am I right in assuming that it's...
I don't quite understand that question. Sorry.
What's the proposed... The monument...
When are we going to do it?
Whatever we choose this monument... Yes. Whatever anyone chooses this monument to be, is it not true that it's going to be there really in perpetuity, you know, for another 200 and... I would hope 200...
Until it falls down
years.
Or...
Exactly right. Yeah. So that's why it's so important to get it right, because it's up for 239 or more years, so we should really make sure that everybody's on board. So that's why I'd like to move my amendment. So my amendment is because, as we've heard, there were some people who are not entirely happy with the consultation process so far. So my amendment, which I've provided to Ms Morton, is that Council advises the Kingston Beach RSL sub-branch that it does not yet support the proposal for the installation of a new war memorial at Kingston Beach as currently proposed, and will seek feedback from Council's urban planner and further consultation with relevant stakeholders, and then also to keep in B, which is relates to an allocation of funding to be included for consideration in 2023-24 capital works budget to cover the cost of the foundations and installation of the memorial. So we would keep B exactly as it is and then just make those changes to A.
Could I ask a question of clarification just on the wording of that motion?
Yep.
You say in further consultation with relevant stakeholders.
Yep.
Is that definitely the wording that you want? Because that could be, that to me says, well, the relevant stakeholders here are particularly the RSL, and so that you'd just be going back to ask the RSL.
And the beachgoers, the people who use the beach, right? So,
well, people who use the beach have had the... Anyway, sorry, I'm not going to debate it now. Do we have a seconder? Okay, so I've got an amendment. It's as printed on the screen. Mrs Morton will put it up. It's moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Fox. So we'll just wait for the amendment to come forward. And then I will ask people to speak to... Would you like to speak to the amendment, Councillor Cordova?
Can I ask a question? Could I ask a question?
Well, when it's your turn, we need to let Councillor Cordova speak to the amendment first, and then I'll put you first on the list. So just for the purpose of people who can't see the screen because they're watching at home, the amendment is by replacing A of the current recommendation with that Council advise the Kingston Beach RSL Club sub-branch... Kingston Beach RSL sub-branch that it does not yet support the proposal for the installation of a new war memorial at Kingston Beach as currently proposed, and will seek feedback from Council's urban planner and further consultation with relevant stakeholders. So that is what we're now going to debate. So Councillor Cordova, over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. I've been approached by, as I'm aware that other councillors have too, by groups and individuals that have concerns with this proposal, specifically the way in which the public engagement was carried out. Many people support the RSL, and this memorial is going to be an important... It's obviously very, very important to a great many people. However, the community engagement survey didn't really provide the opportunities for the community to share their concerns or extrapolate. So the examples that have been used is, for example, the question was, do you support the upgrade to the memorial at Kingston Beach? And if you selected no, the next question was, which option do you prefer, sandstone or obelisk? So this is a kind of Hobson's choice, as it were. Maybe that's a... It's basically saying, do you choose this one or that one? But it's not giving you the capacity to say, well, actually, I would like this or I would like that. And I just want to reiterate the point that the life of this project, whatever goes here, is going to stand for probably two centuries or more. And so we really need to make sure that it's not alienating any group of people, because the balance that needs to be struck, and I think Mr. Smee alluded to this, is that we need to strike a balance against this being a beach for all of us for every day, against... So this isn't just a beach for those special commemorative occasions. It's a beach for every day and for everyone. And so it's really important that we bring everyone on side, because this has to be something that the entire community supports. And it wouldn't feel right if we just pushed this through now without getting the proper feedback. My personal opinion is that what's so crucial about whatever memorial goes and wherever it goes is that this is a place of solemn remembrance and quiet reflection. And it should be a heartfelt and sincere plea for peace in our time. We need to do this with sensitivity, and we need to do this with consideration. We shouldn't do it so rapidly that we don't give everyone the opportunity to say what they would like to have and where they would like to have it. Most importantly of all, the fact that there has been people that have come to us saying that they're not entirely happy with this process, the fact that it's such an important moment of commemoration, the fact that it's such an important piece of community infrastructure, means that it behoves us all to take those concerns seriously and to not just ignore those people. It wouldn't be right to ignore those people, and this is going to be an important part of our entire community. It's a part of the rich tapestry of our community, and it's important that we get this right. If this will stand for 200 years, we need to make sure that we did the due diligence in the first place. And the fact that there's been people who have come to us with some concerns means we need to hear those concerns and act appropriately. So that's why I'm saying it's so important that, you know, we show our commitment by locking in $7,500 right now. We can do that with the provision B that's already in there, but also to actually give the community a fair go. Some of the suggestions that I heard was to have a mock-up, or so on a busy day at the beach, you could have a mock-up so that people can actually see what's going on and talk to beachgoers about, hey, this is where it's going, this is what it's going to look like, what do you think? To actually have some sense of scale and size and impact on the beach, and that way everybody gets a go at saying what should be on their beach. Right now that hasn't happened, and I think we can really achieve a robust consultation that actually works and actually brings everybody on side. I think it would be a great shame if something was pushed through now that stands for two centuries that doesn't make everybody happy. I don't think that that would be appropriate, so that's why I think my amendment finds a nice middle ground. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. For the speakers on the amendment, I might just say a few words, then I'll go to Councillor Antoli and then Councillor Midgley. Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon, Councillor Fox. Sorry, you wanted to ask a question. I did foreshadow that. I forgot to write it down. Councillor Fox.
As seconder of the motion too, I would have also liked to have spoken, but I'll do that later. I have a question in that. How does this amendment differ from the fact that Council could ask, or if we were to ask for a development application? I noticed that Councillor Glaidwright commented about a sign so people could see what was being proposed. That would be achieved by having a development application where people could have a say and be aware in that location the scale of what might be is being proposed, the actual scale of the event that's being proposed and how frequently the events would be, but also how this particular piece of infrastructure would be there in perpetuity. And I don't think people have the current black square that's sitting there now, they may not have noticed unless they've attended a service or been particularly conscious of memorials. So I guess the question is it possible for Council to initiate a development application or to ask the RSL to put in a development application rather than just have the fact that we're looking for feedback without having that formality?
Thank you. It's my understanding, Councillor Fox, that this is not subject, will not be necessary to have a development application for this installation, but I'll get Mr. Smee to confirm that.
Through you, Mayor, that is correct. As covered in the statutory requirements section of the report, Council's planning department has advised that it's considered minor infrastructure, and under clause 5.210 of the Kingborough Interim Planning Scheme, it is exempt from a requirement for a DA. So we could ask them to put in a DA and the response will be it's exempt, no permit required.
Councillor Fox, because you did indicate previously you wanted to speak, did you want to make your contribution on the amendment now before I keep going through the list?
I guess it's a matter of considering feedback that we have had, and that I don't think saying 75% of people support one or the other option doesn't indicate how many people in this report, doesn't say how many people actually replied to this survey. I guess I would like to see more feedback from the community. I'd also like to see that we consider alternative locations more thoroughly as a council, not just accepting the response from the RSL about what they want and what they don't want. In all due respect, I think this is a very significant piece of infrastructure and also a very significant occasion for all members of the community, particularly those who've lost families in war. I think it's a really important concept to have a place that is a civil celebration but also highly respectful event. And it's important that we get it right and that we take our time to get it right. I'm a bit concerned about the urgency that has been expressed. I went to the Remembrance Day myself and was told that it's very urgent to get this done before Anzac Day, but now we're told it can't be done before Anzac Day. And I think we should take our time and do this properly. And so that's why I support the amendment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Before I go to Councillor Antolli and then Councillor Midgley, I did want to speak on the amendment. I don't support the amendment. I don't believe that we need to go back out for further consultation. We received 218 responses. We were out for consultation between the 5th and the 31st of October. There were also some comments on Facebook that were provided, and they have been forwarded on to the RSL Club as well. Councillor Cordova, it's not correct for you to say that people were forced to make a choice in the survey between which of the ones that they prefer, because 29 people skipped that question. So if they didn't want to provide a response to whether they supported it or not, then they certainly didn't have to. It wasn't a mandatory field for the next one. So, look, we're never going to get 100% agreement on issues when we consult. That's just the reality. There will always be a number of people who have a differing view, and that's their right to have that. But I believe the community have spoken overwhelmingly in relation to this. I don't think that what is being proposed is overly intrusive, because we're talking three panels in total 2 metres long and 1.5 metres high, so shorter than me, about up to there on me. And compared to potentially a 3.38 metre alternative, which is the obelisk, which is the more traditional style, I believe this is something that will be an appropriate reminder for the community about the travesties of war, those who have served and those who have fallen, and I do feel that we have given the community an opportunity to have their say. The fact that there were, you know, 200 and something people who, look, we might open it again and we might just get the same 200 people. So we can't just keep going back and going back and going back till, I'm not quite sure what it is that we would be seeking in terms of going back and extending the consultation. So I am, I will not be supporting the amendment. I'll now hand over to Councillor Antolli and then we'll go to Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I think you've said everything that's on my heart. I think you've said everything that would probably be on the majority of the community's heart. I also don't support the amendment. The time is now. Let's give our ex-servicemen and their families and the rest of the community an upgrade that they have requested. 22% said no. Whether or not they had to then choose between something after they said no doesn't change the fact that their no was captured. It says so that 49 respondents said no, and we just have to live with the fact that you win some and you lose some, and the vast majority have said, let's do it. And it's just obvious from having gone there year after year, the community wants it on the beach. The voices of those that don't want it on the beach are few and far between, so we just need to move on.
Thank you, Councillor Antolli. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Firstly, I'd just like to say that I, like all of us around the table, I value the work of the RSL and honour those who have served our country, and my own father was in the services for 30 years. It's a tricky one in regards to engagement and kind of falls out of the box of the precedent and excellent engagement that Kingborough Council does, and it's not on council land, but it's probably the most visited beach by Kingborough residents in our municipality. If it was a council consultation, would we have been on site or had a QR code that would have shown the scale and impact of the proposed memorial?
It's just me. I guess in answer to the second part, I don't know because it's not a mandatory part of our communications and engagement policy. It is certainly a very good suggestion, and we did use it at Tinderbox, but it's not mandatory. But Mr. Smee, you might like to elaborate.
Through you, Mayor, we would be taking advice from our communications and engagement advisor in relation to the most appropriate process to go through in relation to the matter. whether we have the staff resources to provide an on-site presence is open to question. I'm not sure if it was our project, that would be something that we consider, but it would be subject to resourcing.
Councillor Midgley.
So council has an urban designer, am I correct in that?
Yep. Yes.
So I see in the report that they have been involved at some points of the project, but what were their expert urban design sort of thoughts in regards to this?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, as I indicated earlier, the primary reservation that's been held by our urban design office is in relation to the visual impact on the foreshore and, you know, the potential for a memorial to be visually dominant, and that's been his primary concern in relation to it, and certainly due to that there was a really rigorous process of looking at alternate sites and discussing alternate sites with the RSL, but it did come back to the issue that's been already articulated tonight, and that is the desire to have services with the backdrop and the symbolism of the waves on the beach behind. And I think that once that was understood, it does really limit the available sites along that foreshore. So in the end, we came back to where the original proposal was, and certainly the views of our urban design officer in relation to the visual bulk of the memorial were conveyed to the RSL, and as the Mayor's mentioned, they were taken into account in relation to the revised design that they came up with.
Thank you. And will the proposed design, does it meet DDA compliance, and what's the process for that?
Well, we don't have detailed design plans at the moment, so that will need to be a matter for when the plans come to council.
Thank you. Mayor and councillors around the table, it is a very sensitive topic, but I do support the amendment, and noting that the RSL was suggested, I guess, that perhaps there was be some sort of on-site engagement or a QR code or something there, which we as a council would probably do if we were looking at doing something like this in the community. As Councillor Fox and Councillor Cordova, it says, you know, it will be there something for many years to come. So I feel like there's just a bit of a gap missing. And yes, we might come to the same result, but I do think that it would have been a much more thorough community engagement if we could have had something on site that the local people could have engaged with, who access the beach all the time. There's probably that many members of the RSL club, so it's a very easy club to send out emails and that sort of a thing and get the comments and things like that, but for other people might not have known that it happened. So I will support the amendment because I think it is important that the consultation engagement process is revisited, and what a great time to do it over the busy summer period when there'll be a lot of people actually going to the beach and we can hear from a lot of different voices around the community.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Any further speakers on the amendment? Councillor Gladerart.
Thank you. Look, I don't support this amendment. I feel that the survey has already spoken to over 200 respondents, and yes, there was 49 respondents who said no. They were also asked that if they wanted to make a submission that they should forward it on to the RSL. So what I'm hoping that out of this process the RSL are going to take on board that feedback that they have received, and I would hope that we have learnt from this and that moving forward that we can make sure that our communication framework is adhered to. I just want to point out, I did look up the communication and engagement framework, and at 3.2 it's all about who are we informing and who are we engaging with. It says it's important to identify who council needs to engage with and learn from. One tool to assist in this process is a stakeholder analysis to map and classify stakeholders, individuals and groups and organisations that are important to a project. And so what I'm seeing has happened here is that the RSL has put out a survey, but actually the important stakeholders that should have been asked about this proposal were the beachgoers, and those beachgoers may not have been aware that the survey was out without something in situ for them to realise. So I don't support this amendment because I feel that we've already done it now, and those people who weren't happy with it had an opportunity to send feedback to the RSL, and let's hope that the RSL take that on board. However, I think that we should be learning from this situation, and that next time that we make sure that there is a QR code in situ, just like in the previous motion, there was a QR code that directly linked to the survey down at Tinderbox Beach, and I think that that has worked really well, and so let's hope that we can learn from this moving forward.
Thank you, Councillor Quaidright. Next I have Councillor Bain.
Just have a question around 3.2 where it says, 3.1, where it says that a planning permit may be required. Is there any risk that the design could change significantly and still go ahead without coming back through council?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, for clarification, it's saying a building permit may be required. It's exempt from planning, but may require a building permit. So they're different things. So planning relates to how it complies with the scheme, building relates to how it's constructed and its compliance with the Building Code of Australia.
So, sorry, the same question around that. Will we see another design, or is it just going to go ahead and could it be modified?
We will need to see plans, the plans won't come back to the council table. They will come to council staff.
Okay,
is that all, Councillor Bain? Yep. Councillor Dean.
I guess just to follow up that we are actually, as part of the motion, supporting the installation of a new war memorial at Kingsford Beach with the sandstone panel design being the preferred option. So I think that's kind of making it quite clear that they can't just come and revert back to their previous design, perhaps.
Correct.
It would potentially need to come back for us. And look, I'm not going to support the amendment, but I do appreciate that it's a tricky case and that council, and appreciate that we were a facilitator in the communication here. Probably wasn't ideal, obviously, as Councillor Cordova has highlighted there. But there was an opportunity for the community to express their opposition, which was obviously in the minority. And even if we didn't get to the same result on this, I think I do respect that the RSL leads the way on this, and they are the representative community organisation. And so even if we came to something alternative, I don't think it would be palatable to them, as was noted in the report. So we'd probably just be, I'm not sure if it'd be a very effective use of our, or efficient use of our time or resources.
Thank you, Councillor Dean. I think everybody has spoken who'd like to. Councillor Cordova, would you like to sum up on the amendment?
Thank you, Mayor. The RSL is indeed the representative organisation to represent on behalf of returned service people. However, the beach belongs to everyone and the whole community, not just the representatives of that particular organisation. So we have all said how important it is to have solemn reflection and quiet contemplation to commemorate these events on those special days of the year for which it is appropriate to be commemorating. Now, for the rest of the year, we have thousands upon thousands of Kingborough residents and visitors alike who go to this beach, and it belongs to all of us. So we need to make sure that all of the people who have an opinion about this actually are heard, including this councillor who's speaking right now. It's important that we hear what people are trying to say, which is that it isn't fair. What does it say to those people who have written to me and written to other councillors who have expressed their concerns? What does it say to them when we just push this thing through tonight? What does it say? Are they being heard? Are we being respectful to them? And are we listening, actively listening, to their issues? Or are we just on our phones? I think it's really important, Mayor, that we respect those people who shared their concerns with this council and with the councillors. This memorial is important, and it will be up for hundreds of years. And we know that there are people in our community who have reservations and concerns about the design and the location and many other elements. and by passing this tonight, when I've provided the option for us to have some reasonable and fair consultation, by passing this tonight against their wishes, it is creating, I think, needless animosity, alienation and exclusion. Remember that we are trying to make sure that everybody feels heard and everybody feels included. Now, we know that there's a cohort of our community who use that beach who have expressed concerns to us about this proposal, and instead we are now in the hands of the RSL. As we've heard from Councillor Dean, sure, it wasn't ideal. That's the words that we just heard. Sure, it wasn't ideal, but we're just going to push it through anyway. We're now in the hands of the RSL to hopefully listen and incorporate the feedback. Well, what guarantees do we have that the RSL is going to listen and incorporate the feedback? I think it would be so much easier for this council to make a really substantial commitment now, a financial commitment to say that we support this, you know, this notion, but to actually open up to our urban designer and our urban planner and actually open it up to the community so that everybody feels that they had their say. Because at the moment, as far as I can tell, there was about 3 weeks to respond to this. 3 weeks, and yet there's tens of thousands of people that visit our beach throughout the year, and I just don't feel that we gave them, I don't feel like we gave them enough of a say. This is something that's going to last for hundreds of years. It's important that everybody who wants the opportunity to have their say gets to share that. We know some people are against it, and therefore we need to be respectful, and we need to hear them out. So I commend the amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. So I'm going to put the amendment now. It says printed on the screen. It was moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Against the amendment?
Against.
Okay, I'm going to have a show of hands. So in favour of the amendment is Councillors Fox, Cordova, Midgley. Against the amendment is Councillors Antoli, Dean, Bain, Richardson, Gladewright and Reet. The amendment is lost. So we return to the substantive motion. So Councillor Antoli is the only person at the moment who has spoken on the substantive motion. So, and sorry, and Councillor Gladewright has as well. Yes. So Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Just two questions there before I make a contribution. At 4.4, the issues raised in this submission can be summarised as follows. Dot point one says, and I quote, "The memorial should include reference to the struggle of original Tasmanians to protect their land from invasion." Dot point two says, "The memorial should include recognition of those who lost their lives, both traditional owners and settlers, in the Tasmanian War." End quote. What, if any, was the engagement either by the RSL or by this council with First Nations people? Were any First Nations people consulted, or CTAC, or any First Nations organisations or representations, were any received from First Nations people regarding this proposal?
Mr Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I can't speak on behalf of the RSL and whether they have talked to any of those groups. Certainly council hasn't specifically sought to engage with those groups, only through the survey that would have been broadly publicised, and they may have responded individually, but as I said, I can't speak on behalf of the RSL as to whether they have engaged.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor. If I mean, these inclusions under 4.4 must have come from somewhere, so obviously one of the 200 respondents or some of them must have raised that. My question is really, would council be supportive of those two dot points under 4.4?
It's not up to council to prescribe to the RSL Club what plaques or what acknowledgement go on their own war memorial. That's not in our role in this has been about the, I guess, the size and location of the sandstone or the obelisk, and what the Kingston Beach RSL sub-branch decides to put on there is a matter for them.
Thank you. And would council be disappointed if it were the case that people expressed those two issues raised in those two dot points and they were ignored? Like, if on the memorial it doesn't say anything about the Tasmanian Wars or anything about First Nations people?
I can't answer that on behalf. I'm one councillor sitting around this table of 10, so I can't answer that on behalf of everybody else here.
Is it true that it is up to the RSL what goes on. So it does mention in the report about the plaques that currently exist that are proposed to go on the back of the sandstone memorial. But in terms of what goes on the front, who gets the ultimate say in that?
That is up to the Kingston Beach sub-branch of the RSL.
And so the beach itself is a crown, is owned by Crown...
Crown land, yep.
So the beach itself is Crown land, but there's obviously a very significant community interest, right, from all of the Kingborough residents in that beach, because I believe it's our most frequented beach in the municipality, if not probably one of the most frequented beaches, I think, maybe in the state. Is it? That's true, isn't it?
I don't know.
So I guess,
I've never done a study on beach numbers.
No, that's fair enough. And I'm trying to, I think, figure out in my head, putting aside that amendment that got lost, I'm just trying to reconcile how it's going to feel if we're really in the hands of the RSL to make sure that their engagement process is inclusive and respectful, and I really am very concerned, particularly with those first two dot points under 4.4, that if there's been no effort to reach out to First Nations people whatsoever, and we're completely at the, I guess, the RSL gets to choose what goes on that thing. So this could be a really contentious and divisive moment in Kingborough's history, and it's not worth pushing that through so quickly in such a divisive manner when we already know that there are tensions brewing here. I think that this whole thing is kind of tumbling out of control. It's going in the wrong direction. I don't feel comfortable with it. I know already for a fact that there are other people in the community who don't feel comfortable with it. And I think on something like this, which should receive, when it's right and has been appropriately consulted, it should receive a consensus, a sense of unity. And there is no such unity in this room tonight, nor is there such unity in the community. I know that for a fact based on the emails that I've had. So at this stage, I can't support this motion. I'm really, I wish that we could do this in a much more robust way to make sure that everybody is brought on side. It's not appropriate to push these things through when not everybody has had their voices heard. I don't think we need to be engendering this animosity over something that's so important and sensitive. I think there's way better ways of dealing with it. And if it is true that the only reason it has to be right now is because of the 50th anniversary, I think Councillor Fox alluded to it, that there were other anniversaries mentioned. I think we're doing this the wrong way. I'm really concerned about how it's being conducted. And I think because it is a public place, it is a beach of utmost importance to the community, we actually need to have more people involved than just the RSL. And that's my firm conviction. Thank you.
Point of order, Mayor. Once understanding orders, once a councillor has lost an amendment, they cannot re-argue the amendment. They can give contribution and ask questions, but they can't re-argue the amendment and bully the council to somehow change their vote. It's passed.
That's a point of order, actually. On that point of order about mischaracterisation, I'm not bullying anybody.
Thank
you.
You
can't say that councillors are bullying other councillors.
The bully pulpit concept.
Thank you. Thank you for the point of order. Councillor Cordova, just bear in mind when you've put an amendment up and then you're making the substantive not to reflect on the decision that has been made just previously on an amendment. beg your pardon. Now, we still have a number of people who haven't spoken on the substantive motion. Who else would like to make a contribution on the substantive motion? Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I think Councillor Cordova raised important points in regards to the 4.4, including the struggle of original Tasmanians to protect their land from invasion. I think this motion will get through tonight, and I hope that Council staff can perhaps suggest that SeaTac are somehow involved or other local Aboriginal groups are involved in regards to what actually is on the memorial. It would be great so that all voices can be heard and recognised. And I agree with the sentiments of what Councillor Cordova has spoken about.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Anybody else would want to speak on the substantive motion? If not, I'll ask Councillor Antoli to sum up.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, councillors, for your robust contribution. It's now time to, I suppose, bring a conclusion to the discussion so we can move on with the rest of the agenda. The community has spoken. The ayes have won in the community. The noes, unfortunately, have lost. I know what it's like to lose a no, and you just have to move on. With regards to the concerns about all the other points before 4.5, in particular, acknowledgements of Aboriginal loss of life, etc., there are places for that to happen. There are memorials where that can happen. This is the RSL's memorial. It always has been the RSL's memorial. It was never any councillor's memorial. We are simply supporting the RSL to upgrade their memorial site in a manner that makes them feel honoured. It is up to them to add whatever notations to that they wish. And if council feels that other communities to whom this memorial does not have anything to do with need acknowledgement, they can put their own separate proposal on different land. So let's vote in favour of this to honour the RSL members and the rest of the community who believe that this is an almost sacred site in their own right here in Kingborough. People flock from all around the community. People come here from Huonville. I know that for a fact. I meet them every single Anzac Day. They could go to their own memorial right there in Huonville. They love the whole beach effect. So let's please support this, and thank you to Mr. Daniel Smee for the report and for the robust debate.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. I'm going to put the motion now. It's moved by Councillor Antoli, seconded by Councillor Bain, as printed on the screen and in the agenda paper. All those in favour say yes. Against? A show of hands is required. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's Councillors Antoli, Dean, Bain, Richardson, Gladewright and Reet, and those against is Councillors Fox, Cordova and Midgley. The motion is carried. We turn now to page 77, Local Government Association General Meeting Motions, with a recommendation on page 78.
I'd like to move to discuss, please.
Thank you. I have a motion moved to discuss. It's moved by Councillor Gladewright, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Gladewright.
Thank you, Mayor. I understand you have some advice that you can provide us on the following motions, which hence why I move to discuss.
So just for ease of the recommendation, because you'll note that at the moment the recommendation is that we just decide how to treat each of these, I thought it would be appropriate if we went through each of them and I indicate my initial thoughts on how we should vote on the matters, and then so we'll do them one by one, and then we will then put those into a motion that we can then vote on. So in relation to the Legat General Management Committee casual vacancy, that is really just a very just an administrative one to ensure that the North West appointment can be extended, so I have no hesitation in supporting that. Does anybody wish to disagree with that? No? Okay. Second one, Workplace Health and Safety Review of Elected Representatives. This is the culmination of a significant amount of work where the consultant Edge Legal had prepared a report based on significant surveys, individual interviews and a large body of work in relation to the culture around local government. I think the report is excellent. It makes some very, very good recommendations, and I would hope that we could support it so that Legat can then put it to the Minister for Local Government for review. Do I have any contributions on that? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to raise my concern with it, so we'll see how other councillors feel, and I do take all your points, and I hope you take mine in the spirit that they're intended. I've cast my eye over this with the lens of, is this good for democracy and the democratic integrity, or is it bad for democratic integrity? And what I mean by that is that there are many aspects of these proposals that, for example, seek to broaden the application upon which a director can make a recommendation, including a breach. There's also amending the Local Government Act to permit removal of an elected representative from office by a minister. There's also the potential to ban persons from future attendance at council meetings. You know, which persons? Do they include elected I don't know. 2.6, strengthen sanctions for serious breaches so that there will no longer be a requirement for 3 suspensions before removal from office is considered. I raise these points, and there are a few others within here. For example, 2.1, it says, confirm regulatory intent of the model code of conduct is to promote and protect psychosocial safety, which is obviously really, really important. That we all deserve, no matter where you are in this country or any other, we all deserve to go to work in a safe workplace, obviously. But we are elected officials and we're operating within a democratic environment, which means I'm always very concerned at a fundamental level that when you have unelected technocrats getting to decide whether or not somebody gets to stay or gets to go, ultimately the arbiter of who should be an elected official is the people who get to vote. It isn't somebody sitting in the legat office or in the minister's department. So I'm always concerned, just in a general sense, about the encroachment on democratic values where we say because of some hard cases where there have been councillors elsewhere who have behaved in an objectively really problematic way. Now, in those circumstances, you know, it is indeed the code of conduct and in some circumstances the police and ultimately what I'm saying is the democratic mandate. So I just think it's really important, and I hope that people can see where I'm coming from, which is that there are some really important aspects of this workplace health and safety, and they go to that fundamental principle that no councillors deserve a serve. No matter where you work, you deserve to work in a safe workplace. But we have to balance that against democratic integrity and the risk to democracy that ultimately in 20 or 50 years somebody will be in a position of power where they're able to kick out an elected official without the auspice of the population that voted them in. And I'm concerned about that. It might sound highfalutin and a long way in the distant, you know, in the distant future, but if you look at what's happening in the United States, there's many examples where there's really concerns around the integrity of democracy. And when you create greater powers for unelected officials and when you diminish the authority that's given to the people when they cast that ballot, and you diminish it by saying, well, now we can kick people out even without 3 serious breaches, or now we can kick people out just on the determination of somebody in the minister's office. These are where my concerns lie, so at that level, that's why I don't support this personally. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. If I can just comment on your contribution. I think that we need to bear in mind these are recommendations only at this stage that will go to the state government. The state government will then go through a process to see which ones they support, what legislative changes they would like to require. There will then be an opportunity at a later date to provide feedback on any proposed changes via legislation. I think we're all very well aware of a case in the Northwest, which probably is the origin of the suggestion to remove an elected representative, because I think there was widespread concern from community members and other councillors right across Tasmania that somebody who can be convicted of a criminal offence of the nature that occurred cannot be removed from office at present by the Minister for Local Government. And I think that's an appalling situation, and one that then resulted in a very awkward situation where this person's fellow councillors had to continue to work with them after that incident. So I think there would have to be checks and balances around the power that the Minister is given, but I believe that is a particularly important part of this. Now I've got Councillor Aaron Tolley and then Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. It is a fallacy to say that you cannot be removed from elected office. Unless it goes to a vote, you can in both levels of the federal and state constitution. There are certain breaches that will disqualify you from elected office, and it would appear that all we are doing in the local government space is catching up.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
I find it most sinister on page 83 that there is a requirement that they want to introduce a qualification similar to company directors course as a mandatory precondition for seeking election, an ongoing requirement for continuing professional development. I can understand that to be maintained throughout the term of the elected representative. as well as having requiring mandatory appropriate behavioural standards, but the fact that they are asking that anybody even seeking pre-election should have a company director's course qualification, I think that is incredibly dangerous. Councillors are meant to represent a cross-section of the community, not just the educated, not those people who are highly qualified. It's important that the mums and dads, that the people who pay the rates, we aren't, not everybody who pays rates has got a degree or a higher education qualification. And I think that is really flying in the face of democracy.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Are there any further discussion on this item? Otherwise, I'll recommend that we vote yes to accepting this report.
Sorry, Mayor, just yes. if I might, just a couple of questions, particularly around 2.13 and 2.14. So this is, I just don't really understand, change the prescribed period in section 28ZL1 to be over the life of an elected representative's tenure, not just limited consecutive terms. Is somebody able to talk me through what that change actually is in practice?
I haven't cross-referenced that with the Local Government Act, okay. So I couldn't help you with that one. I don't know if anybody else has. Unfortunately,
that's okay.
Not.
And then the second one is about the automatic removal of an elected representative without requiring ministerial discretion in section, the same section, after three suspensions. Has this been checked with any kind of, obviously went through each legal, but my question is, has like the Law Reform Council of Tasmania, like have some of these groups cast their eye over these democracy lens at all? Or not?
No,
yet?
This is just a report from the consultants that were engaged to do this work on behalf of Legat.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so I'll be voting against it.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to put that the recommendation is that yes, so we'll vote on these later. Timing of council meetings. I found this one, I have to say, a little bit curious. It was put up by Burnie City Council. They're suggesting that Legat have adopt a policy position about council meeting and workshop times. Legat, acknowledges that there are some considerations but believes it would be counterproductive to prescribe the times at which councils meet. I tend to agree. I would suggest that we vote no for this one unless anybody would like to...
Could I just backtrack? I must have missed a beat, but have we decided to vote yes for the workplace health and safety?
So at the moment, I'm just going through and putting the case and allowing a discussion on each one, and then we will put them as a whole. Because we're in discussion at the moment. We're not. There's no motion.
Two of them have been marked as yes.
No, that's so that you can follow along, and that becomes the recommendation. Yep. Okay, any further discussion on that one? If not, we'll put that as a no. Councillor Dean.
Just to clarify, I'm not 100% convinced that we are, or that motion is seeking Legat to kind of prescribe times. It's kind of, for me, quite vague in terms of just actually having a position around making sure that councils are considerate of the fact that there are young people or elderly people or working people that want to seek office, and that there's some kind of policy position around that as an issue, and obviously trying to incentivise a broader kind of cross-section of the community actually running for council. Could you maybe point to where it says there that, or maybe just give me a bit more of background, because obviously I'm not Legat in tune, where it says that that would actually be making Legat say, oh, look, Burnie should have this and...
Well, I was... No, I don't think that's what Legat is saying. I think what they said... I was looking at the third paragraph. It would be counterproductive to prescribe the times at which council meetings and workshops should be held, because that would cause more problems than it solves. I got the impression that they were wanting Legat to... Because the motion is not worded brilliantly, but I got the impression that they were wanting Legat to sort of say, well, you've got to have your meetings between 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. or, you know, on particular days or something like that. I mean, I'm happy to suggest that I listen to the debate and listen to Burnie's argument on the floor, and then we go with delegates' discretion. And if it's...
I mean, probably lean towards that, just in that the intent, I think, of the motion is actually very good. I just wonder whether maybe Legat has... could be completely wrong, okay. But they might have jumped the gun a little bit
I'm open to suggestions if you want me to... if you want to do delegates' discretion, which means I listen to the debate and make a determination then, or whether we vote yes or no for this. I mean, I guess I was probably looking at it through our lens, and that is that we have what I think are very workable meeting times that we changed back in 2011 that would allow people to not have to start very late and be home even later, particularly our staff as well as elected representatives. So I guess I feel like we've got it right and are as inclusive as we can be to balance everything. But look, I'm in your hands, Councillor Antoli.
I do think it's hard. I do think it's not worded very clearly, but I do believe it's trying to say there must be councils that are very prescriptive and aren't taking into account the needs of their councillors. I don't know if Bernie is one of these. I certainly don't feel that's the case here. So maybe they're trying to correct a local error. I'm not too sure, but you wouldn't want to be correcting the entire network of councils based on a local issue. So maybe director discretion or delegate discretion, I should say, is more appropriate.
Anybody got any problem with that? Councillor Cordova.
Just for interest, Bernie's council meetings are at 7 p.m, so that might explain some stuff if they're starting at 7 p.m.
And there are some that start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which would be difficult for.
We did once in 1988. They started at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's probably why there were no women on council.
Okay, so we landed back at delegates' discretion, if I can get some clarification, and if it sounds reasonable, then to support it. Okay, all right, so DD. Affordable housing we'll be supporting because that is our motion. then Review of Property Agents and Land Transactions Act 2016. Having read through that one, I think that is worthy of support because that suggests that the onus should be on the vendor of a property to get and supply a Section 337 certificate at the time of the property going on the market. And I think that's quite well argued within the body of that motion, so I'd be suggesting that we support that one. Any arguments against that? Councillor Antoli.
I would like clarification as to what a 337 certificate is.
So a 337 certificate indicates whether there are any... any matters that relating to building, planning and plumbing that are outstanding
right.
for that property.
Full disclosure, in other words.
Yeah, so...
And it's I can definitely support that.
Yeah, it's quite common elsewhere that be a mandatory thing.
Absolutely.
Councillor Richardson.
Is that certificate not something that's picked up in the conveyancing process?
It is, but the argument that's being put forward here is that by that stage someone has committed to buy the house... And if they find that there is an outstanding issue with a non-complying building or something like that, that they get caught up in a lot of legalities then because they've committed to buy the house.
Okay, so the sale of the house is not subject to?
No. Yeah. So it's really buyer beware. And, in fact, there have been, I'm aware of cases where... conveyancers have not even applied for a Section 337 certificate and then people have bought a property and years down the track have then been caught. Yeah.
So an example be where a vendor wants to act as his or her own agent and therefore a potential buyer might be caught out?
No, it's generally... No, it wouldn't matter if it was a real estate agent or someone else, but at the moment there's no requirement. So I could sign up to buy Councillor Bain's house. He might have done something non-compliant. Sorry for picking on you, Councillor Bain.
Dodgy Bain, yes.
Dodgy shed in the backyard that didn't have a DA, didn't have building permit, hasn't been plumbed properly.
Yeah, that's right. Sounds right.
Yep. And then... my conveyancer may not have got a Section 337. I may not know. I move in. I go to sell the place 10 years later and find out I can't.
Yeah. definitely
yep.
support it.
Yeah, I'd want a refund. Okay, so that I suggest then that we go yes for that one. So if there's no further discussion, I would like to put that, that now becomes the recommendation. So the recommendation is, as printed on the screen, that we... I'm going to put them as a whole because I think otherwise it's poor Mrs. Morton is going to be... it's going to make it difficult. So I would like
Sorry, if I might, maybe I'm not understanding the process correctly, but to my mind there was only one issue of contention. All of them were basically unanimous except that second one. So may I please ask that we do the second one separately, workplace health and safety. Can we have a vote on whether or not the delegate sure. should say yes or no to that second one, please?
Okay, all right, yep. Okay, so I'm looking then for... So the first motion will be then include the General Management Committee vacancy, timing of council meetings, affordable housing and review of Property Agents and Land Transactions Act. So it will be those four. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder for that motion. Move Councillor Gladewright, seconded Councillor Bain. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. The second recommendation then is that we vote in accordance with the indicator there, yes, for the Workplace Health and Safety Review. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder for that, please. Move Councillor Antoli, seconded Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Thank you. I will ask for a show of hands, please. All those in favour is Councillor Antoli, Dean Bain, Richardson, Gladewright and Reet. And those against is Councillors Fox, Cordova and Midgley. So the motion is carried and I will be voting according to the recommendation, that is yes. Thank you very much. It's a slightly cumbersome process, but once upon a time many years ago, mayors didn't ask councillors how they wanted to vote and just went off and voted however they felt like it on the day. So it wasn't very democratic. I think this is a much more robust. Okay, we now move to page 89, notices of motion. Councillor Dean has submitted a notice of motion headed Communication of Local Provision Schedule, LPS, specifically the Landscape Conservation Zone, and an officer's response from Ms Tyler Moore. So I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. A mover and Councillor Dean. Looking for a seconder, Councillor Antoli. Councillor Dean.
Yeah, look, I've put this notice of motion up really in order to give us an opportunity as a council to respond to the concern in the community in recent months about the Landscape Conservation Zone. That's part of the new Tasmanian planning scheme. It was clear for anyone who ran in office that it's been a bit of an issue in the community of late, especially during that campaign and the months before that over in the Huon Valley. But I do want to start by saying this is, for me, not a discussion about whether we are for or against LCZ being rolled out, but what it's about is ensuring that we as a council are practising good governance and being responsive to our residents and their concerns. So at present, all councils are being moved over to the new statewide planning scheme, and just over half of the councils have already done this, which means we're in the fortunate position to learn from those who have adopted the new scheme, as well as some who haven't. And what's clear is that the process has been clearly challenging for councils, and obviously a very lengthy one. And this is largely because of the complex nature of what's being proposed. I know I've spent a considerable amount of time trying to get my head around these changes, and I feel like I've only just scratched the surface in a way. But I think this in itself is quite an important point to consider. Because I'm sure that I'm not going to be alone in trying to encounter that difficulty, and that those in the community will feel the same when they do find out, if they haven't already. So this is why it's important to get on the front foot, I think, and give the community as much time as we possibly can to get them to be able to understand this process of what's currently underway, as well as understanding what the new LCZ zone or LCZ might mean for them. So I'm keeping it brief, given what's already been happening tonight. So I hope councillors will agree with me that we need to be responsive, but I actually really look forward to hearing from all of you and the discussion that ensues. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dean. Councillor Gladewright?
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Dean. Yes, I agree with you. There's a lot of apparent concern in the community relating to this particular zoning. I have had quite a few discussions with the planning staff about the letter, and you can see in the officer's response there are some problems that are raised in sending a letter. I note that if we send a letter just to the properties that are proposed for one zoning, then there's a chance that people in other locations will be concerned that they haven't, why didn't they get a letter, and there might be some confusion. So after having a chat today with some of the other councillors and the mayor and our planning staff, we have come up with another suggestion. So I've got the amendment that has been sent to Ms. Morton, and she'll pop it up. The amendment is suggesting that rather than sending a letter, that we host a drop-in forum, and this will be an opportunity for residents in that proposed zoning to come in and have a conversation with staff, ask questions, get some handouts. I think this is a really good idea. I think that the principles of good governance dictate that we are responsive, and given that there is so much apparent concern in the community.
Sorry, I have to get a seconder for the amendment. Were you going to ask the... Sorry, you got a seconder for the amendment, and Councillor Midgley. Next question is the... Before you speak to the amendment, is the amendment acceptable to the mover and seconder?
I was sort of explaining what...
Yeah, I know, but you can't. Yeah, right. Sorry.
Okay.
It has to be self-explanatory.
Okay.
Because if it's acceptable, then it's a shorter process, and we're at 8:25, so... But that's up to the mover and seconder. Councillor Dean is the mover.
Look, I'm definitely not one to let my personal view get in the way of a good outcome for the community. Just to clarify, I suppose, could we just have on the record that obviously my motion does... name up communication, specifically being mailing of property owners. Just to clarify that such an amendment is acceptable in terms of the changing the intent of it. Sorry,
get to that part. Is it yes or no? I wasn't quite sure. Sorry.
It's a yes on the proviso that it's an acceptable amendment. And just
it is an acceptable amendment.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Councillor Antoli, are you happy with the amendment?
So I need to understand if it is a substantive change to the motion, because if it is, and if it substantively changes the motion, it can't be accepted under standing orders. So are you saying that we are... When you set a motion, you can't make an amendment that substantively changes the amendment. It's not allowed to be permitted.
Yeah, no, the General Manager.
I've just had the LGAT training a week ago.
The other amendment didn't have...
And I need to understand, while Gary Arnold is looking, if the amendment is saying we're not going to do the mailing, we'll do the town hall meeting, or is it saying let's do the town hall meeting and down the line do the mailing?
So the amendment, just while they're resolving that... Just to be clear, the amendment is at this stage, this is about having a drop-in forum in early 2023 as a more effective means of communicating to people directly, because that enables an exchange and dialogue similar to the way people have been phoning in. So that's what it's suggesting, and then there would be letters later on.
In that case, I can support the amendment, because you're actually increasing consultation, not decreasing. And under this situation...
Yep. I know, but this makes more sense. Okay. General Manager.
Oh, sorry. Yep. Through you, Mayor, just to respond to Councillor Antoli's question... It certainly can be accommodated, the amendment, as put by Councillor Glade Wright, in accordance with the meeting procedure regulations.
Thank you. Yes, I realise that now, because she's not actually changing and wiping out the amendment, the motion, and replacing it with something else, and that's what I needed clarity on.
Oh,
She's actually adding to it and actually increasing consultation. So based on that clarification, I can definitely support it, because that's what the community wants, an increase in consultation.
Thank you. So we're both happy, the mover and seconder. Thank you. Councillor Dean with a question.
Just as part of this discussion as we go into, I suppose, do we have the capacity, to, I suppose, to kind of tweak the amendment, I suppose, in a way that would be potentially more palatable, because there's some... It says early 2023, and I think it would be great if we could be a little bit more specific about that. And then in terms of the actual drop-in session, will this... Is this the opportunity for us to basically say what we think is the appropriate drop-in session, or does that come later?
Yeah. So, okay. I'm going to stop you there, because we have to hear from Council now that we've determined that it's acceptable. It now becomes comes part of the substantive motion. So we're back talking on the substantive motion, of which you have already spoken on it. However, you can ask questions. So I'll give you the first call now to ask questions, because this is now the substantive motion.
Forgive my ignorance. I thought we were then going to have the opportunity to discuss that amendment.
Well, the amendment has become the substantive motion, because yourself and Councillor Antoli, as the mover and seconder, accepted it. But that doesn't mean that you can't phrase anything as a question to get clarification, or to make any suggestions that somebody else then might take up to move as an amendment.
So I guess my question is to the amendment, what does early 2023 look like, and what do the drop-in sessions look like, and potentially the discussion for the rest of us, or when we put in?
So in the discussion that we had today with council staff, we talked about having setting it up so that it might be, and look, the final version of it, obviously, that's something that we would have to look at. Because I think you'd want to offer a range of times to accommodate people who are working and can't get there during business hours. So you might have two half-day sessions where you run 9 to 1, and then on another day you might run 4 to 7 or something like that. We have a number of planning staff available. People come in, they have one-on-one sessions with the planners that are there, and then we can provide them with some resources if they need it, tell them where to get more information, and that this is just based on for the people who are potentially impacted by the landscape conservation zone, because if we were to open that up to everyone, then that's incredibly resource intensive. So this would seem to be the most efficient way to do it, and I would be hoping that we can do it in I'd like to say January, but we come back to work on the 3rd of January. We need to give people enough time, so it's probably more likely February, when schools are back, would be an appropriate time to undertake it. That gives us enough time to ensure we have the staff available, that we have a facility that suits everyone. I would say the community hub is probably the most appropriate venue for it, because it's one of our own. It's fairly central. So that was our initial sort of thought bubble, if you like.
Am I allowed to speak now?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes. Councillor Dean, you can ask any questions at any other time without closing the debate. So if you have another question, I can come back to just phrase it as a question. Councillor Gladright.
Thank you. Yeah, look, I think the point that we all probably are feeling is that, yes, there is a lot of concern in the community related to this specific zoning, and the principles of good governance is that we are responsive to that. And Councillor Dean has suggested that a letter would be a good way of responding. I think that having talked that through, there are some problems with sending a letter, and my understanding is that when Mr. Stander receives phone calls, people often ring him with concerns relating to LCZ. He's able to have a conversation with them and they go, oh, that doesn't sound too bad, and they go away feeling much better. So a letter doesn't necessarily provide that type of conversation. It can be quite dry, it can be quite boring, and often a letter might just make someone go, what's this all about? I'll ring someone anyway. So it's just generating a lot more work for the staff. So by providing a drop-in forum where people can come in, have a conversation, get those, that sort of one-to-one communication is, I feel, a much better way of providing that information to the community. I just wanted to ask about the availability of our communications advisor, because she was just shaking her head around the suggestion of February. Is that something we need to consider?
Well, we'll definitely work it out based on the availability of staff.
Okay, so the other great thing about the drop-in session is that this could happen sooner rather than later. If we were going to send a letter, we would have to wait for the Tasmanian Planning Commission to finalise their assessment, because otherwise a letter would say, dear resident, you're proposed for this zoning. Oh, but we have agreed that we're going to relook at the mapping, so it could change. Oh, and after that, the Tasmanian Planning Commission are going to make their assessment, and it could change again. So really a letter couldn't have gone out practically until the TPC have made their assessment, and that might be another 6 months away. So in responding to the community currently, I feel like a drop-in session is going to provide some more comfort to them in the more immediate future. Mind you, we do have to sort of work out when that will be. So I hope that makes sense, and I'm really keen to hear what other councillors have to say, and I'm really open to coming up with the best outcome for our community.
Thank you. Before I go to Councillor Richardson, I'll just, and then Councillor Antoli, I'll just make my contribution just to clarify what this would look like. This is increasing the consultation or the information available to residents about the LCZ, and as Councillor Glade right indicated, I think this is to be able to sit in front of somebody and have a dialogue about your own circumstance or ask general questions would be far more valuable and a better use of time. This is only the start of the consultation. I would like to see, because we are expecting the TPC to come back to us around June with their response, and we had also discussed the possibility of putting some information, an information brochure, in with the rates notice that goes out in sort of July, that would then go to everybody who receives a rate notice, because if you put anything in rates notices other times of the year, people who pay up front, they only get the one notice, and so we don't reach everyone. So the most cost-effective way to do it is to put information in the one that goes out the first notice of the year once the rates have been set by council. So that would then, you know, alert them to the fact that, you know, this is what's going on, and here's where you can go and get some more information about it, or you can call us. Then we would be entering the 60-day public consultation period that is prescribed by the state government for this process. So, and that will also involve some of these community meetings in different locations. So that's just a bit of a snapshot of, you know, how I can see this going, that there are various stages to it, but I think that at this stage it's really prudent to have these sessions to allow people to hear from our planners on a one-on-one basis, and also then for the planners to hear from them before we go back to the TPC. Councillor Richardson and then Councillor Antoli.
Thank you. I would just like to say, I guess, if we are going to go down the path and the effort of having a drop-in consultation, which sounds on the face of it a good idea, I think we need to incorporate into that a very thorough and comprehensive plan to communicate to the community when those will be, because it would be a shame if we go to the effort of putting these on and only 50 people turn up and then we could turn around in a couple of months' time and people go, I had no idea it was on. So, yep. You know, not a question but a statement.
Yep. No, and look, certainly I agree, and we already just in our meeting this afternoon talked about how we would advertise this to our community, and we certainly, councillors would play a role in that as well in getting this message out. We know there's already
a Facebook page for a group that is concerned with this issue, and certainly they will play a big role in helping us to get this message out. Our own Facebook page has 9,000 people that follow it, so we'll be using social and mainstream media to promote this. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. And I do commend Councillor Dean for bringing this up. If you didn't know that the LCZ was one of my issues, you haven't been paying attention the past few months. And I'm very comforted that I don't have to put the motion forward, and it's testimony to the community that people like myself have been speaking to other councillors, they have been listening, and it's comforting to know that I don't have to always be banging the drum on this. It's actually a good sign to the community that someone else has first the motion and I've seconded, and I wanted it to be that way so that the community can see it's not just one lonely voice, because when it is, they feel that they have lost the war, and they're not. I do believe they are winning the consultation battle on this. That's why I'm happy to support the substantive change. But I have a question about those that are saying, why are you holding off mailing to us? It's probably important for them to know why we need to hold that off. As I understand it, Adrian Stand is working quite judiciously with the TPC, and I would like to put in a bracket, the community are very actually positive about Adrian's consultation with them, so I'd like that noted, and I'd like his manager to thank him for the very proactive, consultative manner that he's showing to them, in which he's actually saying, I hear your concerns, you're right. Before I came, I don't think we handled it as best we could. Now that I'm here, I'm going to help fix it. So they're hearing that. But I understand that he's working quite judiciously behind the scenes with the TPC to look at the numbers affected under the previous overlays, and I believe that that it will be actually changed. Those numbers will change. Therefore, maybe holding off writing is a better reason. Can you confirm or deny that rumour?
Yeah, I think that's probably best. I don't know of his interactions at the moment with the TPC, but the General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Antoli, I can confirm that the numbers will change. The process is one that, post the lodgement of the draft with the TPC, there have already been two post-lodgement meetings with council officers. There is a third one scheduled this month, and when the TPC finally give the sign-off to this council to go on public exhibition, I can assure you that if we were to, for example, do a mail-out today to, say, pick a number, 2,000 properties, that number would not be the same when we get the final sign-off by the TPC. And that would cause confusion big time.
Thank you. And through you, Mayor, Mr. Arnold, would one assume that there is downward pressure on those numbers?
General Manager.
Through you, Mayor, certainly that is part of the discussions that officers are putting to the TPC. And it goes back to the core of the issue in some respects, in that the landscape conservation zone, which, by the way, I think personally is a misnomer, I much preferred the current environmental living zone, which puts the emphasis on both in living and environment. But that said, the landscape conservation zone was one of a suite of the new zones provided by the state government for us to choose from. It was not a council choice at the time.
Yes, I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that we were handed a dog's breakfast. And the reason why we all know that the LCZ is the contentious one, because it's the only one that has potentially punitive effect on the landowner. And around what around the valuation of their property and what they can do on their property. So that was the only other question for me. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll keep it brief. Just thank you, Councillor Dean, for advocating on behalf of the community and putting this motion forward. And Councillor Glade-Wright for articulating in regards to the letter and why that wasn't such a great idea, understanding the response and things from councillors, sorry, from staff. But, you know, for Councillor Dean, like, that's, we put things forward, we have a discussion, and that's what being on council is about. I just wondering, I've heard a bit of a where it says the, sorry, where's the amended motion? It's sort of like a drop in session, and then I've heard people say sessions. So is it just a drop in session? And again, noting that, you know, you could choose the Tuesday of that week and people are away and whatever. It's definitely just one drop in session.
So I indicated earlier we hadn't quite determined that, but I suggested that we might split it into two sessions over at different times and on different days to try and capture more people, but we'll have to obviously work on the availability of staff and so on. But the option then is always open for people to contact Mr. Stander and have a conversation with him if they're unable to get to those.
Great, thank you. And just also again to acknowledge council staff, they have been working over and above on this matter.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Fox.
I have a question about Councillor Antoni's comment that the LCZ is punitive. I think a lot of people are hearing that word, and that is raising a lot of angst. And I'd like to know at this point, why is it seen as punitive? Is it a negative thing?
I can't really answer that question on behalf of Councillor Antoli, and I can't ask him to speak again because he's already spoken, so you might have to ask him.
Well, I think the public needs to know, because I know there are a lot of people watching at the moment and listening, and I think that word is sending alarm bells and will get a lot more upset people coming to our meetings. Perhaps the concern is that they won't be able to build on their land, but in fact, under the environmental zone that we have now, the environmental living zone, that is already the case. So they also need to look after their environmental values. They're not allowed to remove their trees already. There's no change in the actual...
Yeah, I'm struggling to...
Asking a question.
I know, and you've asked...
And I would have thought maybe Mr. Arnold was able to help.
Okay. Well, I'm struggling because you've asked a question as to why Councillor Antoli is using the language that he is to make an assessment of the LCZ, and that's not a question that myself or any of the staff can answer. That's only something that Councillor Antoli can answer. But unfortunately, he has already spoken on the motion, and so he can only ask a question, which is not helpful.
Well, I guess the general question is, this wording is being used extensively on social media, I understand, and emails that I've received as well.
Okay.
And nobody's actually explained it to me, why
okay.
It's so punitive.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Fox. I don't know how to... once again, I can't answer that on behalf of Councillor Antoli.
Would you like me to ask a question?
At quarter to nine, I don't know.
It's a quick one.
Okay, all right, ask a question.
Councillor Fox, would you like to chat to me afterwards and I'll explain to you what I meant?
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Okay, is there anybody who hasn't spoken?
I have a question.
Yep, but have you spoken on the substantive motion? A question? Okay, Councillor Cordova, and then I'm going to Councillor Bain, who's been patient.
Thank you. My question is it the opinion of the council that the LCZ is punitive, or is it the opinion of the council that that's an inappropriate way to discuss the LCZ?
Well, we have not made a decision and taken a formal council position to that effect. It's a bit like the answer to the question earlier about I'm one view and there are nine others around the table. So I think that's the easiest way I can answer that. Councillor Bain, who's been sitting there very patiently.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. And just quickly, because a lot of councillors have already said what I was going to say. And
don't you hate that when you last...
No, as long as the message is out there, that's all that matters. I think this is a really good solution because, whereas a letter is a bit of a one-way conversation, this can be put out there for the people who are interested to have, you know, the information tailored to their needs, which I think is a great starting point. as Councillor Richardson said, I think the key is getting the advertising out there so that everyone's aware, that needs to be aware that it's on, whether that be through not just social media but traditional media, because a lot of this is on social media at the moment, so we need to get a message out to the people who aren't aware. And given it's going to be the first quarter of next year, it's going to be early in the piece before the formal consultation, so once this has been done, we can assess again, and if more needs to be done, then we can do it.
Yep.
So I think this is a really good way forward.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. I think that's everybody having spoken, so I'm going to ask Councillor Dean if you would like to sum up.
Yeah, look, it sounds like this might get up with, based on the comments from people around the room, from councillors, so that's really pleasing, and I just want to thank everyone for coming with an open mind, and like Councillor Midgley mentioned, this is absolutely a good example of when people have come ready to discuss, present new ideas and then come up with ultimately, hopefully, a better outcome for the community. And to touch on Councillor Bain's comments about this is a good commitment for early, whether it's Jan or February next year, we can reassess and see what needs to be done, given that we've got quite a bit of time between then and the next thing. So I think this is a starting point, and the reality is this is probably more that would have happened otherwise if we weren't here today agreeing on this. So I think that's a really good outcome from the community. So I thank everyone for putting their thoughts in and improving it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dean. I'm now going to put the motion. It was moved by Councillor Dean, seconded by Councillor Antoli. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried unanimously. We now move to page 91, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder that we move into closed session, that in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulations 2015, by absolute majority, move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence and acquisition of right-of-way for a shared pathway connection. I have a mover in Councillor Gladewright, a seconder in Councillor Fox. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. In accordance with the Kingborough Council meetings audio recording guidelines policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. So open session of council adjourned at 8:50 p.m.